Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's scripture is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And rules for Christian households. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. And children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I've lived some different places throughout the country. I lived down in Memphis for a while, out in San Diego as a young man. And in 1975, I was 20 years old, and it was remember this last 2 weeks ago? I'm going to start all over. Oh. You remember this? I just really messed it up, so I'll be with you. Okay. There. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, then you don't. It's an inside joke. In 1975, as a young man of 20 years old, infatuation struck. And I entered into a relationship that has lasted over 42 years. The relationship has lasted so long because it has brought to me some very exciting, wonderful moments in my life. Now, however, as in any relationship, it has had some difficult moments. There have been problems and struggles. It is a relationship, after all that time, that has taken a great deal of time and effort to make it work. But then, you know that all relationships take work, right? Well, let me explain a little bit more. In the summer of 1975, I purchased a broken-down 1960 Austin Healey Sprite for $650. And over the next few years, and then several years, and over the decades, I have spent many evenings rebuilding and restoring the car. Now, how exciting to drive that classic, little, cute little sports car around San Diego. The infatuation wore off quickly. I began to realize that I was spending more time in my garage in the evenings than with my young wife, Susan. The car took a lot of work, a lot of my time. And in those early years, my enthusiasm motivated me to work through one mechanical problem after another. A cracked head, a frozen piston, a broken axle, a worn-out clutch, misbehaving carburetors. You know, a relationship that takes that much effort becomes burdensome. And my enthusiasm for this demanding relationship really did dissipate. Now, I could have easily sold the car before moving back from San Diego to the Midwest. I But I discovered that there was a way to sustain this relationship with my 1960 Austin Healey Sprite. Any ideas? You guys probably do it and you don't know it. Apathy. That really is a secret to a long-lasting relationship. See, if the car was having problems, I got tired of it. I quickly got tired of it. And I just didn't care. I discovered that to make this relationship to continue to work, after all these years, that's a lot of years to have a car, all I need is a garage that I could stick it into. Hey, am I doing this thing right? Oh, never mind. I'll just keep playing with this like I'm playing with my ears. As long as I had a garage that I could stick it into, out of the way, throw a dust cover over it, and just forget about it. Then in a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, sometimes 5 years, I would get excited again. And I'd begin to long for my little sports car. And I would be motivated once again to put the time and the effort to get that car going. The relationship is rekindled. I was excited. I had fun. People would look at me and wave and smile. And I would enjoy my cute little car for a few months. Then it would require too much attention. And I would just shove it back into the back of my garage, put stuff on top of it to store things, where I would no longer have to think about it. See how well apathy works? Get tired of it? Get it out of sight. Now, I've gotten to this point where you're thinking probably that is pretty silly for me to talk about having a relationship with an inanimate object, a car. I do, however, feel like I'm in a relationship. Spent most of my life with that thing. And after all those many years, the relationship that would be overwhelmingly tedious, and I couldn't do it if I didn't just take a break. And any relationship would last long and last a long time if we only had to pay attention to the other person in the relationship when we found that relationship exciting and motivating and fun and joy-filled and no troubles or problems. Now, when I grew tired of my car, I just got weary of it because it took too much work, another breakdown, or that it was costing me too much money, I just stopped caring. Put it away until once again, I was just simply taking a break from that relationship. Of course, apathy, not caring for a period of time, will quickly destroy any relationship with another person. And all of this talking about my car. For one reason is I got it out running, so I thought I would show it off. Probably haven't seen it for a few years. All of this is to make a point that a relationship takes ongoing effort and attention. And we can't care about another only when we feel like it. Only when it lifts our spirits. And then when it gets difficult or frustrating or just weary or tiring and wearisome, that we can just shove it to the back of the garage or in the back of our lives just because we're tired or we just don't have the time. I like this analogy of a relationship because we do this without realizing it in those relationships closest to us. Today, I use the reading from the Apostle Paul in Colossians because it speaks about compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and of course, all of this wrapped up in love. And I like it because it is not talking about when we feel like caring, when we feel like being nice to that person to whom we say we're in love with, but we can just do it. We don't have to feel it. We can make the decision to do it. And the writer of this letter says it very in a great way. It says, put on, as if you're putting on clothing. Put on compassion. Don't be nice when you feel like it. Put on kindness, not just because you feel good that day and you feel kind to others. Put on humility. Wow, nobody really wants to put on humility, but what a way to get grounded. And each one of those words is a sermon in itself, so I'm not going to go into that. But you know, humility, the root of the word is humus, which means earth. Humility is getting well grounded once again, getting us out of our arrogance and our pretentiousness. And of course, patience, that we can stick it out. Those are the things we do, not because we feel like it, but because we care about the relationships in which we're in, and we're going to put the work in, and we're doing it as if we're putting on Christ the way the scripture tells us to. That is how we build that relationship. Oh, by the way, the passage went on a little longer than I intended it to. It got into the household rules. Did you catch that? Did you catch it? Did you see it? Yeah. So let me go into that a little bit. Colossians, there are a lot of debate, a lot of controversy, but there are really only 7 authentic letters by the Apostle Paul. Colossians isn't one of them. It comes much later, written by students of Paul, followers of Paul, writing in Paul's name. But it happens later. And what happens is the radicalness of what Paul had to say, especially in Galatians, where there is no, Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek or free nor slave or Gentile or Greek. There are no differences between people. They are all one in Christ. That was radical stuff. It was too radical in the Roman world. The church was struggling with it. And so give it a decade or two, and all of a sudden, the radicalness is taken away, and it begins to take on the shape of Roman culture. And people are a little more comfortable with the household rules that Paul never wrote. That's a letter that comes later. And if you want to think that Paul wrote Colossians, and that's what he wrote, okay, but do your study. There's a lot of debate about that. But it also contradicts what he wrote earlier. That was radical. This now becomes acceptable. It's not the harshness, and people could buy into it much easier in that Roman culture. Enough of that. Okay, let me end. Hey, take time. Take time to be honest. You be there for your spouse. Be there for your child. Be there for your close friend. Don't seek out easy answers. You know, so many times when we push people off when they want to say something that's hard. I know I had a tough day, and we try to fix it. Don't try to fix it. Listen. Be there with humility, compassion, and kindness. And that is not giving answers, but being there for the person, letting them know that you care about them and that you love them and that God loves them and they're okay for who they are and the tough things they're going through. Don't ignore them. Don't shove them in the back. You continue to care by listening. Because relationships are just too complicated. And in our attempts to find a way to help the person, to fix the person, we're actually brushing off the underlying problems and not really helping the person. And what happens when it gets too much that we can't handle it? We subtly move from not caring to apathy. And we just go our separate ways for a while, and then we'll come back. We'll get excited, and we'll come back once in a while, and then we'll start all over. But there's going to be that time, especially those close in your lives, where you're not going to come back together. In the early church, they had a lot of friction, a lot of problems going on. And one of the letters that was written in 1 John says something, one of my favorite scriptures, writes, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is perfected in us." You see, we experience God in a very real, in a very concrete, real way through our relationships with others, in our faith communities, in our families, in our friendships, in our communities. But it requires ongoing effort, especially when we grow tired and weary and overwhelmed by the problems. We can still be there to care and to listen and to love. So be committed to one another. Because relationships are based upon feelings of respect and trust, not only when we feel like it, because then that's when apathy will take over and creep in. So let us build our relationship with God as we come together in worship, in prayer, and in Scripture. So blessings to all of you in your congregation here.